You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. He was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and would be mocked, and shamefully treated, and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus and those 12 disciples are on the way to Jerusalem for that final journey where Jesus is going to do what he came to do, what had to be done by him to save you and me, all creation. He's going to accomplish what has to be accomplished by the Son of Man, just as the prophets wrote. And Jesus is speaking plainly to his disciples. He says he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. Not the first time Jesus has told them. He's told them many times. And it's important that it's repeated. It's important then for those disciples who would need to hold on to this truth. But also it's important now that this is repeated, that we understand what Christ came to do, what he did, what it cost. As we approach the Lenten season, we will contemplate the passion of our Lord. The disciples also, they knew the writings of the prophets. In addition to what Jesus had told them, as Jesus said, just as the prophets wrote, Isaiah, for example, wrote, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Christ's words. And again from Isaiah, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. The oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people." And the 12, they knew the writings of Isaiah, and the prophets. They had heard Jesus teach on these, understood none of these things. Luke tells us the 12 disciples, they had been following Jesus, listening to the teaching and preaching, observing his fulfillment of the prophets, the miracles, the signs. They're still not recognizing who Jesus is. Luke tells us this saying was hidden from them. They did not grasp what was said. The disciples are spiritually blind. Blind who Jesus really is, to the suffering that he must endure, the death he must die. This requires spiritual sight, eyes of faith, to see and believe that God must enter into his creation and be delivered over the shameful, torturous death. And yet, just before this happens, the disciples are about to enter Jerusalem with Jesus on his way to the cross. Those 12 closest to Jesus are not seeing who he really is, what he must do. But they come upon someone who does know who Jesus is. He's a blind beggar on the side of the road. A blind beggar is a burden to society, not a contributor, not somebody who's held in high regard or any prestige, physically unable to earn a living by any kind of regular job, dependent on others to survive, considered by most to be among the lowly of society, dismissed often. But here's the crowd. He asks what's going on, and he simply told Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Nothing insightful, no great revelation in that. It's what anybody could observe, anybody could state without controversy. Also, in other words, it's a safe confession to make. It's true, but limited in what you can see and confirm. It doesn't really say who Jesus is. But the blind man knows. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Son of David. The blind man is confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knows and confesses loudly that Jesus is the promised one, the promised Messiah, the one to be anointed to be king, heir to the throne. Jesus is the one who came to heal and save. The blind man sees that this man, Jesus, is his God and his Savior. He sees who Jesus really is. Even though it's hidden from the others, they can see physically but are blind spiritually. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. The crowd wants to silence this bold proclamation of who Jesus is. The blind man already doesn't fit in. Now what he's saying, well, to them, it's not appropriate. You can't say those things. Not now. Not here. But the blind man's not bound to conform to the crowd. He doesn't have to give in to peer pressure. He knows the truth. He's undeterred. He cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He believes and holds to the promises of God's word written by the prophets and being fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't let the rebukes of the crowd stop him. He has been humbled by circumstances of life, blind, needing to beg. He's not too proud to ask for, to cry for mercy. And more important than that, he knows that this is the promised Messiah, the all-merciful one, the one who has the power to heal and to save. This blind beggar knows what he needs. He needs mercy and healing. What does Jesus do when he hears the man's cry for mercy? Jesus stopped, commanded him to be brought to him. When he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Jesus demonstrates his power and compassion. Jesus, the miracle worker, heals the blind man, and he transforms him from a blind beggar on the margins of society to a disciple and a citizen of the kingdom of God. The transformed man followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people who were previously trying to shut him up, who didn't want to hear his bold proclamation of who Jesus is as being Savior and God, they were transformed. They had been spiritually blind, but the word and the presence of Christ give them spiritual sight. They give praise to God. The word and the presence of Christ revealed that hidden in the man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the promised Messiah of the prophets who would continue to Jerusalem to accomplish his bloody mission on the cross. On the third day, he rose from the dead, just as he said. After he rose from the dead, he visited the disciples often, reminding them of the words of the prophets, expounding on the scriptures and opening their minds to understand the scriptures. Luke records that Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." And so it is. So they did. And so it continues today. This apostolic ministry continues according to God's command, his will, It continues through pastors in the church today, because we need Jesus. We need repentance and forgiveness proclaimed. And the transformation by Christ's word and his presence is available to us every week here in the divine service, where Jesus calls us. Calls those who know they are blind beggars, those who know they need mercy, they need healing, those who may consider themselves lowly and dismissed, those who believe that Jesus is the all-merciful God who comes to heal and save. He calls us that we may be healed and transformed by his word and his presence, and then follow him and give praise to God. Humbled by our weakness, humbled by our sin, we cry out to the all-merciful one. We cry out to the one who showed us mercy by being handed over, mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon, flogged, and killed for us. We call him who hung on the cross to give himself up as a ransom for many to be our Lord and our God. Like the beggar, we cry out in our liturgy as we sang this morning, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Lord is present here with us with the power to heal and save, and we tell him what we want as beggars in our prayers. Pray for his grace and his mercy in our confession at the beginning of the service. And he responds by speaking words of forgiveness in your ears through the pastor. Pray throughout the service, the introit, the collect, the prayer of the church, the Lord's Prayer, and he comes to us, present with us in the sacrament of the altar, answering our prayers. It's here we can expect Jesus to demonstrate his power and his compassion for us. We can expect healing and transformation. We can expect spiritual sight to be restored, timid faith to be strengthened. We know that Jesus accomplished what only he could accomplish in Jerusalem. We boldly confess this in our creeds. We carry this bold confession into the world, even when others try to silence our confession that Jesus is the Christ, the one who has suffered and died for the sins of the world, the one who has overcome death and promises the resurrection to those who trust in him. But until his return in glory and judgment, he remains hidden in his word and his sacraments. In these, Jesus is present and shows mercy to beggars who cry out to him in faith, Lord, have mercy. And it's here by his word and his presence, Jesus transforms us, makes us disciples, citizens of his kingdom. Like the crowds in the gospel, after they were transformed by Christ's word and presence, we follow Jesus, glorifying God. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For great faith that cries out like blind Bartimaeus above the taunts and discouragements of a faithless world to hear Christ's word of healing and pardon, let us pray to the Lord. For faithful pastors, including Matthew, our Synod President, Timothy, our District President, and Brad, our pastor, that through their service, God would open the eyes of those blind to his great love so that they would follow Jesus on his way, rejoicing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, that they may faithfully confess their Lord's name and receive his word and blessed sacraments, and for our Lutheran Church, especially her secretary and the men nominated to serve as president and first vice president, that they may have wisdom and discernment for the good of the church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents, that God would bless them with all wisdom as they teach their children his ways, bestowing his riches in his word, that all may confess Jesus as Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and all its leaders and public servants, that our God would guide them into ways pleasing to him, and that he would bless the people of our country so that we would delight in his will and walk in his ways to the glory of his name. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are in distress of body and soul, especially Vicky, Lynn, Anita, Lois, Lewis, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Doris, Matthew, Megan, Mark, Ethel, Bob, Peter, Fred, Harold, Joan, Greg, Linda, Jaden, Rick, Thorfinn, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, George, Ann, and Jeff, that our loving Father would comfort them with his presence, strengthen their faith through his gracious promises, and grant them healing according to his will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all here today who eat and drink the body and blood of Christ in his Holy Supper, that we would receive the sacrament in repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith, the salvation of our souls, and to the glory of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strong hands, firm knees, and fearless hearts, that we may abound in good works, pray without ceasing, trust our Lord's just judgment, and expect his promised renewal of the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Service continues on page 194 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
oh,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.